Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today, right now, is director, producer, writer Ben Griffin, who has a very intriguing new sci-fi short film coming out on July 30th, G, which will be available on Dust. And Ben is here to talk to us about making this awesome little short film. Hi, Ben.
Hello.
So this is a very, very intriguing story. It feels like a prologue to either a feature film or a miniseries, and I literally ate it up. I couldn't watch it enough.
Oh, amazing. Thank you. I'm glad you liked it, for sure. In a way, that's kind of what it is. It's a short film, but it's more so kind of like a proof of concept of, you know, the universe we're trying to build and the characters. And it's definitely something that we're looking to expand, you know, preferably into a series, for sure, at this point.
Well, talk about where the idea came from and the focus on the characters, you know, the emotional development, the romance angle.
So there's kind of two parts to that. So the kind of overall theme of it came from a conversation I had with a friend, actually at San Diego Comic-Con a few years ago. I had a friend that had recently went on a trip to Morocco. And when they came back from the trip, they told me, they were like, oh, it's amazing over there because they have these places that are like, you know, almost haven't been touched in like 500 years. And people kind of live in all these kind of old buildings and structures, and it's kind of like being able to go back into the past in a way, a little bit, right? And so as they were telling me the story, my brain just started to spin, and I don't know, I just kind of thought, I was like, well, what would it be like if a certain part of the earth, or just even my original idea was just the United States, but I was like, oh, the whole earth just kind of stopped at some point and in a way kind of regressed. And if someone, I thought someone from like a future planet, you know, where Earth people have left and come back, what would it be like for them to like experience this? And that's kind of where the overall concept of the environment that it takes place in happens. And then from there, I just, you know, I kind of extrapolated like, well, what if I think these kind of future humans, what would they evolve into? And some of it, when I kind of came with the idea of, well, they have to kind of let go a little bit of their humanity to kind of have a more ideal society, that part of that you would lose is kind of that love romance element of, you know, being a human, right? So once we came back to this regressed Earth, you know, I wanted to see kind of explore someone who wasn't in touch with that, what it would be like for them experiencing it for the first time. And that's kind of how the whole concept of everything, you know, came to be.
I like the idea of sort of a time capsule. A planet had some sort of event and things just broke. And yeah, a lot of people said, okay, we're out of here. We're going to start someplace new because this planet is dying. But they don't realize it's not really dying. It's regenerating. It's, you know, healing itself, to use a lot of terminology that's come out these days. It's rebooting itself, and in a better way. And the humans who survive seem to be anyway better for it.
Yeah, in a way. And that was kind of like the idea behind it. Like, okay, you know, everything kind of went off the rails because en masse what society was doing to the planet. So yeah, once everyone left, the planet was able to heal itself. And, you know, we don't delve too much into it in the short, but in the kind of expanded versions of the story, we kind of go into the history of the people who stayed there on Earth, kind of realize that, you know, technology and industrialization is what kind of harmed the planet. So they go out of their way to not use that stuff anymore. And they live this kind of agrarian lifestyle that allows the earth to flourish again, basically. You know, so that's the kind of whole thing behind that you know. And in a way, kind of almost seems like a little weird, kind of what we're going through right now, this whole virus and everything. We're all kind of in our houses because, you know, maybe we've been doing a little too much, you know.
The argument can be made, and there are plenty of other films and comic books that sort of dance around and dance on that subject to let us explore. So you're not far off there.
Yeah.
What I liked was the idea that the people who left in order to survive, I don't know whether it was because of difference in the planet they found or just that's the way that they wanted to keep up with their technological advances. You see what seems to be to me a choice of cybernetically enhancing one's body but losing contact with what it means to feel and to love.
Exactly. You know, they kind of almost got to a point where they chose, you know, the technological advancement of their society over, you know, versus keeping some of their humanity, you know. So in a way, they're still human because the advances, kind of why we wanted to do it was the advances they had was a more kind of like digital genetic augmentation. So it's not like they're like cyborgs, you know. It's like things that are actually done to their genes on a genetic level, but in a way kind of alters their humanity, you know, for the most part. Mm-hmm. But when our main character G comes back to the Earth, we see that no matter what, no matter how far that they've augmented their genetics, that base level of humanity and, you know, love and caring, compassion is still there. It can still be brought out, you know.
So how long did it take you? Because I don't want to spoil this for people, you know, who haven't seen it yet, and encourage them strongly to go see it when it's out on July 30th. How long did it take from, I guess, concept to screenplay to production?
So that process, well, I'll give you the whole timeline. So, you know, obviously Comic-Con is normally in July. Mm-hmm. That's when I kind of had the spark of the idea. You know, I got kind of sidetracked on work. And then around, I think it was, like kind of Christmas, New Year's Eve time of that year. That's normally when I kind of have some time off work. And I wrote it probably maybe just in a week, really, you know, because it's a short. Kind of wrote it in a week, put it together, you know, tightened it up. And then I kind of started reaching out to find out who would be available to help me do it and looking around for actors. And, you know, and then I stumbled across, you know, Lewis, and I just thought that he had not only the perfect look, but also the physicality of, you know, his martial arts and just everything about him was perfect for the role. So I went about, you know, trying to get in contact with him. And it kind of took a while. I mean, at that time, I was going to say it was maybe about March when I first started kind of trying to see how I get a hold of him. And I think he was, you know, he was filming things and he was kind of, it was a little difficult at first. And also I was doing it myself. I wasn't using a casting company or anything. So then I finally got in touch with him. It took a while, probably about July. You know, we met actually at a comic convention out in Las Vegas. And we talked, you know, he really liked the idea of the project. And I think by about August, we kind of got everything worked out with management. And I started getting everyone else together. But then he was about to go shoot his next show for Netflix and we had a tight schedule. So they told us, well, basically you have to shoot this in 2 weeks. So it went from everything kind of roughly being put together, but not really in full pre-production, to having 2 weeks to put it all together. So in all reality, the actual heavy lifting of the pre-production on this was all done in 2 weeks, you know, and we put it together really quickly. You know, we shot and everything just came out great. You know, we shot in about 2 days, and then there was a third day where we did the opening shot, which was like it was actually in Cancun, Mexico. Went with just, you know, a couple people, and we, you know, we grabbed that shot because I really liked those buildings and the architecture, and I thought it really lent to minimalistic feel of how I wanted their planet, you know. And then it took a long time in post, you know, because there's a lot of visual effects elements in there. I mean, even though a lot of them aren't like in your face, there's about 80 visual effect shots in there. And so that part took a while. Like, I would say, you know, it took us 6 months to really nail down all the visual effects and get it done. And also, you know, we were kind of working on a limited budget. If we had, you know, of course, unlimited money, we could have made that go faster. But my VFX team was kind of working on favors and stuff like that to make it happen. And yeah, so that, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, it just took a long time in the planning and the back half, but in all reality, it was, as far as like nuts and bolts on the ground working, it was 2 weeks of pre-production, 3 days of shooting, and, you know, the edit was done in about a week. And then it was about 6 months of post on the VFX and tightening it up. So that was the basic kind of timeline for the whole thing.
Well, the effects that are in there are seamless and amazing. And there's that one opening shot before G takes off that reminds me of like a 1970s or 1980s science fiction novel cover. It's absolutely stunning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's, like I said, that's the shot that we went to Mexico for that I was so insistent. I was like, we have to shoot this place. Like, it's amazing, you know, and I knew, you know, and we touched it up a little digitally. We added stuff to it, but the main structures and everything and all that was actually standing there, and it's just an awesome, awesome location. I'm glad we took the extra time to go out there and do that, you know.
Well, it, you know, give your VFX team a virtual high five from me.
Oh, will do, will do. Yeah, I mean, when we were taking it around the film festivals, I mean, that's predominantly what we won awards for. You know, we won, I think, almost two or three awards for best visual effects. So, yeah, they're definitely happy. And, you know, my VFX team is awesome. I love them.
Now, how did it get to Dust?
So the whole deal with Dust came about. So the very first film festival that we took it to was, Holly Shorts. It's normally at the Chinese Theater every year. It's one of the bigger festivals that focuses just on short films. And, you know, so a lot of people come out to that one, and there was representatives from Dust there, at the festival. And, you know, they had, and then actually the people who run the festival connected us with Dust after, because they were interested in, you know, putting it out. Now, I will have to admit, when they first approached me, my manager, I kind of told her about it, and she initially turned it down, just to be honest. And, you know, because she had more of an idea of where we could shop internally first and not just put it out online. And I kind of went with it, and it was working for a little bit. Like, we actually did have a deal in place to do a full-on series at the end of last year that kind of, like, fell apart at the last minute, you know, and then leading into the corona and everything, it just kind of didn't seem like it was going to happen. So, you know, I made the decision myself. You know, I really like Dust, and I like the stuff that, you know, they're doing and putting out, and I kind of circled back, and I was like, hey, you know, you guys still want to put this up, and they were interested in, you know, getting this out for the public to see. And, yeah, they were still interested. So we, you know, we're making it happen and, you know, putting it out at the end of the month here.
Well, as I said, I'm definitely going to be encouraging our listeners to check this one out. But, are you working on anything else, science fiction or even horror related?
Yeah, I mean, I have a few things in the works. I've been, over the past few years, I've been writing, you know, several graphic novels that are all kind of like science fiction, you know, superhero-based type stuff. So I do have one that should be coming out soon called Hero for a Day. And then also I have another one called Dimension that's really awesome, excited about. It's in the very early stages, but Dimensions is kind of like an otherworldly film about a planet of kind of psychic fighters that have basically battles on alternate dimensions with inside the universe. And basically whoever wins, like, either that part of the world is completely destroyed or it's, you know, completely pristine for like the rest of time. And it's kind of, and then it's kind of like a Romeo and Juliet, kind of a lot of Hamlet, Shakespearean elements to the dynamics of the different characters and what goes on with them. So that's the novel I'm currently working on. And, you know, on the filming side, of course, doing videos, and then the other thing is we're really trying to focus on getting, like I said, either a series or a long-form feature of G done.
What appeals to you most creatively, being a showrunner for a series or maybe directing a series of feature films?
You know, I kind of like both. I mean, honestly, to be 100% honest, when I first made G and first thinking about it, the idea was a feature film. And I have a lot of feature film scripts written, you know, some of them we're trying to shop right now. But over the last few years, it just seems like there's so many great series that are coming out on all the streaming networks, you know, that are amazing, high production quality, even on the sci-fi and action stuff. And, you know, you get more time to delve into the story and the characters, especially if you're building worlds and all that. It helps to have that time and expanse to really build. So it's kind of more where my focus has went, to doing more long form series, because it just seems like you can do a lot with that now, really lend towards building worlds with sci-fi. And, you know, honestly, because everything's going on right now, it's like we can't even go to theaters. You know, that's where yeah. everyone's watching entertainment, is at home. And I feel like even once this is over and theaters are back open, I think more audiences will still be inclined to just stay at home and watch the next great thing that's coming out, you know. So these days, that is kind of more what I'm leaning towards, is, you know, series, you know, show running a series and that kind of thing.
Yeah, part of me really, really appreciates the fact that Hollywood has embraced the longer form storytelling, because I can't imagine Watchmen, what HBO did, as a feature film, or even two. You can't do that. There's just no way to squeeze that story into a movie. And there's so many stories out there that we are being finally given the time to build the story structure, build the mythology behind it, build the backstory. And there's just, you can't do that in, not even in a 2.5 hour movie sometimes. And the limitation on how many times you can show a 4 hour movie in a day affects how much box office it makes, and affects all sorts of decisions, even getting that movie made. So yay Netflix, yay Hulu.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, they're just coming out with such awesome content nowadays. Now it's great.
So what is next up on your plate?
Well, yeah, like as I said earlier, it's mostly like, you know, writing a couple of graphic novels I have to come out. And, of course, I'm always doing music video work and that type of stuff. And then just trying to get something more of a long-form series off the ground for G. You know, that's everything that we're pretty much working on right now.
Cool. And so people can keep up with you to sort of keep an eye on what you're working on. Where can people find you, either online or social media?
So my social media, the one I'm most active on is my Instagram, which is Ben Griffin Creator. And then also as far as like stuff with G, we have, you know, the G website set up, which is gfromlilo.com. And it's the same thing across all socials, you know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you know, G from Lilo. And that's pretty much the best way to find me. And then also, you know, my production company, we do more like video and commercial stuff, is all at prime-zero.com for, you know, Prime Zero Production.
Cool. Well, we will have links to all of that so people can find you and find out more about the film. Ben, thank you so, so much for your time today and for sharing your creative insights.
Okay. Well, yeah, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
A lonely alien pet bravely waits for the family that may never return. An astronaut with seconds to live discovers just how good victory can taste. A mecha pilot and an aristocrat strike up an unlikely friendship. Take a ride with Escape Pod, the Hugo-nominated weekly science fiction podcast, at escapepod.org. Every week we'll launch you into an alternate reality, so buckle up, it's story time.
Hi, I'm Aaron Ashmore from Sci-Fi's Killjoys, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
Hi, welcome back to more Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my very special guest right now is actor Louis Tan, who is, let's just say it, Twitter's very thirsty for him, and he's in a... Well, it's true! But you're in an upcoming sci-fi romance called G, and you play the lead. Welcome, and tell us about how you found this movie, or how this movie found you.
Yeah, well, I was shooting. I was doing a Comic-Con actually in Vegas, and Ben came to me and presented this idea. A lead Asian. In a sci-fi kind of romance, and that's something that I haven't seen before. So I was immediately I was interested, but at the time my schedule was really busy, so I just kind of put it off. And a few months later, I was in Vancouver shooting Wu Assassin, and Ben sent me the mood board for it, and he also told me that he got my friend Travis Wong to choreograph the action. And Travis is a fantastic choreographer who I've been wanting to work with. So I had 4 days off in Vancouver shooting Wu Assassins, and I told Ben, I was like, look, if you can make the shoot happen during this time period, then I'm in. And if not, it's going to be a while until I'm free. And he made it happen. And so I flew back to L.A., shot G, and came back and literally landed and went straight to set to shoot Wu Assassins. So that's how it came about. But I think the project to me is special. It's just I want to work with people that are inspiring and doing new things. Ben as a black director directing sci-fi, and myself as an Asian actor being the lead in something like that, and also being part of a romance, it's unusual, and it's what I want to see in the future. So that's how it happened.
Yeah, it's beautifully shot. It's very understated in that you're not overwhelmed with sci-fi elements, and it's all about the characters. The focus is on how G and Tiffany meet, how the world that G was told about wasn't true, and everything about it, this movie is so beautiful. How much the director, Ben Griffin, put in to just a 15-minute short film, I am blown away, and I'm so glad you got to participate.
Yeah, me too. It was really satisfying, and I hadn't done a short film since I started in my career. You know, it's just I was really, really impressed by the story. Really, really impressed by how much heart there is, by how the fight ended up looking, by the special effects that he did. I was very impressed overall by the level of production and Ben's professionalism, because, again, he's a music video director mainly, but that won't be for long. I guarantee someone will scoop him up soon, because he's got a lot of talent.
Well, I'm on board for seeing an entire, like, limited series or mini series based off of this. So, you know, I'm here to promote that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting elements to it that kind of correlate to what's going on right now with with technology and with, you know, even like, for instance, Elon Musk's idea of planting this chip in your brain that's going to, you know, stimulate different neuron pathways to kind of enhance, you know, enhance humans. And that's happening. He said that's going to be ready in the next few years. And so that's what this film starts with, this in the future, that this has already happened. And all these enhanced humans have gone to this other planet to get off Earth, and Earth is dated, it's trash. And now they're in this place where you lose that sense of emotion, that sense of human connection, which drives us and makes us alive, that makes life worth living. But at this point, you know, they've abandoned all those things in order to advance, quote, advance, you know. And I think that it's a really interesting story. So when G goes back to Earth and he's been told all these lies about Earth, and he meets somebody and for the first time feels that what that's like to almost, you know, to be human again. And he realizes, whoa, like there's a lot here on Earth, despite its faults, that we need to fight for. And I think that, that through line is really cool. And there's a lot of stuff that you can do with it, you know? And so we tried to do our best in 15 minutes, but I think that there's a lot of backstory to tell.
What elements of filming this did you have the most fun with, besides the fighting?
You know me well. Actually, I was so sore from shooting Wu Assassins that I was kind of dreading doing that fight, even though I love it. But I was pretty banged up already from shooting Wu Assassins with Eco, and that, you know, he's such a legend that to keep up with him was hard enough. So hopefully I did it justice. But I think the fighting was fun, and the fighting was very fast paced. So I like that. I enjoy that energy. But I think acting, you know, with Tiffany's character, I think that was really different and intriguing, and she's such a unique actress, and I don't know, I just, there was something there that was nice to explore, even for a short period of time, that connection and how to communicate that level of depth quickly, you know. That's something that I haven't done in a long time, so that was interesting.
Now, when you guys were filming, did you have to make any changes for like dialogue or scenes, or was it pretty much shoot as it was written?
No, we did make some changes while we were on set. You know, especially the scene with Tiffany and G in the bedroom, and she explains to him, you know, she has like a monologue, and it just, I think because English is not her first language, but also because something about it just didn't feel right in the moment. On the script, it looked good, but then when we got there to shoot it on the day, it just wasn't coming across as real. So me and Tiffany took a break and wrote the rest of the monologue on a napkin, and that's what we shot.
Nice, because that whole scene where, you know, they're getting closer and then they're in bed, it's just so touching, and
yeah.
It kind of anchors the entire movie for me.
Right. And we talked about that. Me, Eva, and Ben, we all talked about that. We talked about how this scene needs to sell, because if this scene doesn't sell, then all of it is just, it's just flash, you know, like it doesn't, that heart really comes through in that scene. And if that scene sells to the audience and you understand their intention in that scene, then that makes the fight important. Mm-hmm. And that makes, you know, everything in the fight, it makes it more, you're more emotionally invested in the fight. And that's what I'm going for. I'm not trying to do these films that are just, you know, shoot 'em ups and fighting for no reason. You have to have, there's a reason behind it always, or else it's worthless. You know, I'd rather see somebody be emotionally invested and just throw a couple punches, as opposed to someone who's killing 50 people, but you have zero idea and you have zero care about why they're doing it. I think that that's the thing that makes action films so interesting, is the heart behind it and the intentions behind it, the humanity behind it. That's what I'm looking for. And G had that on the page. So it was just executing it.
Yeah. That scene that was for me was the moment where he was no longer learning about old Earth. He got it. He understood. He connected. He was part of that world. And that made him, his defending his family, so much more, so intense. It's
that's
like
it.
He's taking
even,
a stand.
Even, right. And even when they come for him, and he doesn't just, you know, he's not like, okay, that's it. Here we go. We're fighting. He was begging them to understand. He was begging them to give him a chance and see that he's been lied to and to look around and see the beauty here. And he tried to convince him, you know. So even in that point, he was still trying. And so that's why I think the character's depth is crucial to making this short film interesting, you know.
Yeah. And the way he tried to get his old friend to just walk away, that, you know, that
right.
shows that he had extended, he had rediscovered his humanity, and he wanted his friends, like, look, we don't have to do this, just walk away. And the fight becomes impressive, and really, the effects in that fight were cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. It was funny, because on the day when we first got there, Ben had these insane swords made. They were like futuristic. They were like these black kind of onyx looking futuristic swords, but they were so heavy and super, like super sharp. I was like, Ben, what am I supposed to do with this, man? Like if we make one wrong move, we're going to cut each other's heads off. So on the day they ended up using these lighter weight kind of silver swords. And then adding special effects on top of the swords to make them look a little more interesting, which, I mean, I don't see how it would have been made without that adjustment. But that's what filmmaking is, you know, it's problem solving and making things real and understanding how to adapt. That's the key to filmmaking is preparation and then being able to adapt. And, Ben does that very well. And, he took our advice and listened to us and the collaboration was really important to make that film so interesting in such a short period of time.
Oh, nice. Now, I have to ask, some of the aerial stunts, were those wireworks or was that digital?
No, it was all wires. Everything was wires.
Nice. It's just like that entire fight. I think I watched the fight scene twice just because.
Yeah, it's done so well. It's so beautifully choreographed. And I like the mixture of hand-to-hand to sword, the different styles. There was a little bit of Wing Chun in there. There's a little bit of Muay Thai in there. There's a little bit of, like, traditional katana mixed with this modern-day style. So there was a lot of cool stuff in there.
Cool. So
jiu-jitsu and judo is good.
Other than G, which comes out on July 30th, what else are you working on that we can see?
Well, I mean, I'm sure you know I have the Warner Brothers. I'm leading the Warner Brothers franchise, Mortal Kombat,
mm-hmm.
from January. That's a pretty big one. And, you know, we just barely finished that film before the pandemic happened and everything shut down. So I'm so happy that we got to finish that. And, I can't say too much about that one yet, but it looks incredible. And I've never been prouder of anything that I've done in my life. So, I'm very happy and very excited for people to see that. And there's a couple other projects that I had signed that are postponed for now until we work out how to deal with this pandemic.
How are you approaching your training during distancing and staying safe and all that?
Well, it's been difficult, I'm not going to lie, because for me, you know, if you knew me personally, there's just two things that make me feel sane. And, well, I guess three things. And those things are, I like to make movies, and I like to travel, and I like to train martial arts. If I can do those three things, or at least one or two of those three things, I can really feel like myself and feel, I don't want to say happy, but I just feel like me. And you know, and during this pandemic, all three of those things were just taken away. So it definitely made me question. And I just felt like a weird energy for quite some time. But having said that, I was training at my house as much as I could. I was training at my place. And then my brother, who I do Muay Thai with, me and him would get together and we would train either in a garage or, you know, in a park somewhere away from everyone. And that's how we got through it. You know, it wasn't as easy, but I can't sit still and do nothing. I mean, and also I think it's better it's better for your health to you know, keep healthy and to maintain. So, you know, especially during this time when people are getting sick, I want to make sure that my body and my mind and my spirit, you know, feel healthy and feel good. And so it's important to me.
Awesome. Well, you stay safe.
Even now I'm at the park about to train as soon as we get off this call. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's important. I think everybody should do their best. You know, I had a long talk about it with a friend of mine the other day, and it's kind of like, don't beat yourself up about how you're feeling right now, because it's so unprecedented, so much anxiety and heavy energy in the atmosphere. It's hard to keep positive. It's hard to stay motivated, which usually I have no problem doing, but even I had a problem with it during this pandemic. So, you know, I just, want to tell everyone to don't beat themselves up about it. And, try to keep a healthy mentality through this, you know, cause we'll make it through like everything else.
Cool. Well, you stay safe, take it easy, keep making the things that we love to watch. And thank you so much for talking to me today about this.
All right, Summer. Well, thank you very much. Take care.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com. Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care. I told that devil
to take you back. Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
And once again, I cannot stress strongly enough, or even enough, go see G when it's released on July 30th. Go head on over to either gfromnilo.com or watchdust.com. And it's a quick 15 minutes. And it's gorgeous. It's poignant. It's action-packed. The fight scenes are a combination of physical skill, wire work, and CG with the weapons that, yes, I'm enamored with this short film. So go watch it so you can be too, so we can all talk about it. That said, I can't wait to see what new projects that Ben is working on when they come out, be they graphic novels, novels, or, hey, a series based on this film. And yes, I am going to be keeping an eye out for more sci-fi short films like this, because they are creatively innovative, because they have to be, because budgets. And in order to tell a really good story in a compact, short period of time, that's a gift. That's a skill. And I'm hoping that there's a backlog of unmade films because of, you know, pandemic lockdown that we will eventually get to see through various online venues, be they Amazon or Hulu or independent outlets like Dust. I look forward to seeing more. But if you know of any sci-fi short films, be they sci-fi romance, space opera, adventures through time travel, let me know. Call in. The number is 602-635-6976. Or if you just want to leave a comment about this movie or some other movie you've seen, go ahead. The number
I just gave you
works. Or you can send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio Podcasts. Also, if you're listening through Apple or Stitcher, leave us a review. Let people know that you are enjoying the show, and maybe they should check it out for themselves. You can follow us on Twitter, @SliceOfSciFi. We're also over on YouTube, Slice of Sci-Fi over there. And of course, there is the website, sliceofscifi.com. Come on by, leave a comment, check out our other interviews and reviews, and join in the geek conversation, or, you know, hit me up on Twitter. Let's start something. I'd like to thank everyone who is currently helping to support all of our efforts here throughout the Slice of Sci-Fi universe, be it Slice of Sci-Fi here, Writers After Dark, Babylon Podcast, Charlie Jade, Horror Stories 101, which is still being built, and Science Fiction 101, which is also still being built. All of these websites, all of these podcasts are kept online by your generous, generous donations and pledges, and I am truly grateful for your support. Thank you. If I haven't said it recently, thank you. If you'd like to add your support, the place to go is Patreon. Patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Or if a monthly pledge is not conducive to your budget these days, you can send a dollar or two every now and then through the PayPal link, paypal.me/scifisummer. And just as a reminder, people who are Patreon supporters are automatically eligible for a perk. Every month, I pick an email address out of the hat, and you can pick a book, a Blu-ray, a DVD, science fiction, paranormal, horror, thrillers, mysteries. I have a lot of stuff here that I don't have space for. So my listeners are the first in line to get free swag. And don't forget, we have a contest going. The two Star Wars books mentioned in the Cole Horton interview a few weeks back, Star Wars, The Book of Lists, and Star Wars, Galaxy's Edge, The Traveler's Guide to Batuu. I have a set, a pair of those awaiting one lucky winner. All you have to do is enter is follow the instructions on the website or on the tweet. Tell me what part of the Star Wars amalgamated universe you enjoy the best. Leave the comment on the website or on Twitter. And on July 31st at midnight Pacific, some lucky winner will get both books. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.